Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. I'm going to take off my coat this morning. It's kind of warm. Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. We'll be reading the verses 31 to 37. Mark 7, the verses 31 to 37. If you do not have a Bible with you this morning, you can follow along in the back of our bulletin. Mark 7. Let us hear the reading of God's word. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There some people brought a man to him who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven with a deep sigh, and he said, "Ephphatha," which means, "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it, and people were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the dumb to speak." Thus the reading of God's holy and inerrant and infallible word. For you to understand our passage today and the context of what's going on, it's very, very important that you understand the lay of the land and the lay of the land of what's going on and where Jesus is going, especially in the last passage about the Syrophoenician woman and the healing of the deaf and the dumb man. It's very important because the movement of Jesus is significant. And so I've been thinking this week of how I was going to be able to describe this so that you would fully be able to understand it and see the picture of it. And as I've been thinking about this, I began to think that the lay of the land here on Whidbey Island is very similar to the lay of the land of Israel. And so I'm going to describe today in such a way so that you're going to be able to understand where Jesus is going in the context of where we live and what's happening. And so we're going to call Whidbey Island the land of Israel. Whidbey Island is like Israel and what Judah was. And then the water between the island and between the mainland, we're going to call the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River. And you know that on this side where we live in Whidbey Island, this is where the Jews were. This was the promised land that God gave. And on the other side of that water, that's where the Gentiles lived. And if a Jew went to that other side of the water where the Gentiles lived, that was an unclean place. So they would carefully have to wash themselves and wipe the dust off themselves any time they went into that area and they came back onto Whidbey Island. And we're going to call Oak Harbor as being the land of Galilee. This is where Jesus first came in the Gospel of Mark. We've been following Jesus' travels through Galilee. And then we're going to go south and call Coopville, Jerusalem. So Coopville is like Jerusalem. It's about the same distance in Israel as it is from Oak Harbor. And we're going to call Anacortes, Tyre and Sidon, where Jesus was last week. And then we're going to call the mainland on the other side of Oak Harbor. That's where Jesus is going today. And so Coopville, we're going to describe as being Jerusalem, which is to the south. And everyone living in Oak Harbor knows that Jerusalem, or Coopville as we're going to call it, is the headquarters for Jewish leadership. Jerusalem is where the temple is. Jerusalem is where the Sanhedrin is. Someday God is going to send a Messiah, and he will rule in Jerusalem, and David's throne will be established, and all the people will go to Coopville, as we're going to call it, to worship God and to worship Jesus. And so we who are living in Oak Harbor, we know that Jerusalem is headquarters, and we look to Jerusalem, or Coopville, for leadership. And so our story begins. In the beginning of the book of Mark, we know that Jesus came into the land of Oak Harbor, and he called his disciples who were standing along the water, and he called them, and they followed him. And then Jesus went to the various churches in Oak Harbor, and he was preaching the gospel of the coming of the kingdom of heaven. He was driving out demons. He was healing the sick. And everyone in Oak Harbor became excited about Jesus being there. He became the most popular man in town. Everyone in the whole town of Oak Harbor was excited about Jesus. And so the various pastors in Oak Harbor got jealous. They were the leaders of the religious people here in Oak Harbor, and they saw Jesus getting all this attention, and so they tried to trap Jesus. They set out a plot to trap him and to trick him at his words. And they got, after trying to trick him and to frustrate him, they were not able to do it, and so they called the leaders down from Coopville. And the leaders from Coopville came down, and they saw Jesus, and they evaluated Jesus, and they concluded that Jesus was Beelzebub. These leaders of Coopville saw it was so important, that what Jesus was doing was so significant, that they walked all the way from Coopville, all the way to see Jesus and to see what he was doing, and they concluded that he was the devil. And so Jesus goes outside of town after being accused of being the devil, and he goes on a boat, and the people of Oak Harbor who believe in Jesus went out to the shore, and they heard Jesus preaching his sermon of the parable of the sower. And after the parable of the sower and all those people from Oak Harbor had heard the sermon, Jesus went off cross to the mainland. He crossed the water to the mainland on the other side, and who does he meet? This demon-possessed man. And this demon-possessed man comes to Jesus, and he falls on his knees, and Jesus drives out the demon, and he goes into the pigs, and the pigs go into the water, and you remember what the people of the other side on the mainland did. The people wanted to send Jesus away. Get out of here, Jesus. We don't want you to stay here. You're going to maybe take something else from us. You took our pigs, and we don't want you in our region. But Jesus left them something, didn't he? He left them the testimony of the demon-possessed man. And so Jesus came back from across the mainland, and he came back to Oak Harbor. And when he got back to Oak Harbor, one of the pastors was down on his knees on the beach along with the people from Oak Harbor who believed in Jesus. He was down on his knees, and he asked Jesus to come to his house and heal his little daughter who had died. And so on his knees before Jesus, Jesus follows this area pastor, and he goes to this pastor's home, and he heals his little daughter inside of the home. And he raises her from the dead. And so then Jesus decides to go down to Santa Fuca. And at Santa Fuca, that's where Jesus was born and where he was raised. And all the people of that town know Jesus because his dad was one of the carpenters there in Santa Fuca. And he goes down there, he walks all the way down south to Santa Fuca, but they do not recognize him. They do not recognize him as the Son of God. They do not recognize him. They only see him as he was, as his carpenter. And so Jesus comes back from Santa Fuca, and he has been rejected. They only see him as a man. They do not see him as the Son of God. And so then Jesus sends out his disciples. He comes back to Oak Harbor, and he sends his disciples out all through Oak Harbor. And the disciples go off, and they preach, and they heal many, and they drive out many demons. And the disciples are doing all of this, and then they leave. And the people respond. They respond to what the disciples did. And so Jesus gets in a boat in Oak Harbor Bay, and he starts to sail away. And the people of Oak Harbor, who had all this, come running along the shore. They run along the shore all the way to where Jesus, anticipating where he is going to land. And when Jesus sees those people there, when he sees them and how they have run out to him, Jesus has compassion on them. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd, because we have read about their king. King Herod, who was bad, who had John the Baptist beheaded, who loved himself, they had a bad king. Well, the people of Oak Harbor have a bad king too. They have Bill Clinton as their king. And so when the people of Oak Harbor run out and they see Jesus out there on that boat, they are like sheep without a shepherd. They are not looking for a president of the United States who can rescue them. They are looking for a king of the whole world, of the entire universe. And so Jesus sees his people there, and he sees them as sheep without a shepherd, and he looks up to heaven, and he feeds them bread from heaven. He has compassion upon his people, and he feeds them as the Son of God would feed his people, because he is the true shepherd. And so Jesus, after feeding his people out there along the seashore, after his people from Oak Harbor have responded and have run out to him on along the shore, he comes back into Oak Harbor. But this time, when he comes back into Oak Harbor, he does not go to the churches as he did before, because the area pastors and the area churches have rejected Jesus. And so instead, Jesus goes down to Pioneer Way, And it's on Pioneer Way that the marketplace is going on. That's where people are buying and selling fish. That's where people come from all over the world to buy the fruits and the different things that are made in Oak Harbor, the different things that they can purchase. And it's in the marketplace that there is this combination of Jew and of Gentile. And you remember that before Jesus went to that marketplace, he got on a boat. And he had sent the disciples that they were going to go to Mount Vernon. They were going to go to Bethsaida. They were going to go to Mount Vernon, the disciples, but they didn't make it because of the wind. And so the disciples did not fully understand what Jesus is going to do. So he took them to this marketplace where they could interact with the Gentiles. And sure enough, what happens? His disciples eat, and those leaders from Coopville came once again. All the way from Coopville, they've been heard about Jesus and what he's doing. And they see his disciples not eating. They see his disciples not eating with washed hands. And so they confront Jesus on his disciples. They are not doing all the ceremonial washing that they are supposed to do. And so Jesus looks at these leaders from Coopville. These are the leaders that all the people of Oak Harbor look up to. They are the model citizens, the model godly people that they all look up to and that they follow, and he accuses them of not taking care of their parents. They have redefined the Jewish law of what their duties are to their parents by saying that they are so important in what they're doing in serving the Lord that they don't belong. They don't have to take care of their parents. They can do it for their own selves because they are dedicated to the Lord. And so their parents can live poor, their parents can be starving, but they don't have to worry about them. And so after pointing this out, the Pharisees, the leaders from Coopville, are furious. They see what Jesus has done. They have heard him insult them. They are the leaders of Israel. Who is this Jesus to tell us what to do? And so Jesus points out that it's not what is on the outside that makes a person clean, but it is these Pharisees who think they are clean, but inside their hearts are evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. It is what is inside the heart that makes a man unclean, not what is on the outside, what the Pharisees are trying so hard to do. And since these people from Coopville have now been insulted by Jesus, Jesus knows that they're going to be furious. And the pastors in Oak Harbor are going to get the people upset at Jesus just because they're following the leaders from Coopville. And so Jesus goes out of town. He goes all the way to Anacortes. Now you remember that Anacortes, as it would be, Tyre and Sidon, was the place that was Sin City. It was Anacortes where back in the days of Joshua, they were not able to take. They left some of the people living there, some of the Gentile people. They were supposed to destroy them, but they did not. They were not able to destroy them. They were disobedient to God. And it was Jezebel who came from Anacortes, and she went to Oak Harbor, and she led the people of Oak Harbor into sin. She was a wicked queen. She fought the prophet Elijah. And so now Jesus has gone all the way to Anacortes. He has left Oak Harbor. He's gone to this city which is sinful. And Jesus is trying to hide. He's trying to keep his presence in Anacortes a secret. But inside Anacortes, inside of a house, a woman has heard about Jesus. Someone from Anacortes was in Oak Harbor when Jesus was healing at one particular time. And so she hears that Jesus is there. And she runs and she bursts into the room. And she falls on her knees before Jesus. And she begs Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. This woman has come. She's not only the fact that she's a woman, but she's a woman from Anacortes. And the disciples are shocked. These are the people from Anacortes. These are sinful people. And Jesus says, first let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and to toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Jesus is saying to her, I fed the people in Oak Harbor. They are getting the bread from heaven. They are the Jews. They should be deserving the bread from heaven first. But you remember what the leaders of the people from Oak Harbor did. They rejected Jesus. And Jesus has gone to Anacortes, and he has fed the people there. And now this woman says, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She is not asking for the main course meal from the people of Oak Harbor. She's asking only for some of the crumbs because she knows that the bread from heaven, only the crumbs, is better than none at all. And this woman who lives in Anacortes has more faith than the people of Israel. And so Jesus does something that Joshua was not able to do. He drives a demon out of someone living in Anacortes. And so Jesus, in verse 31, leaves the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. Jesus does not go back to Oak Harbor. Jesus goes to Anacortes. He crosses over to Mount Vernon. Then he goes down to the mainland, which is directly opposite of Oak Harbor. Jesus has gone to a place which is opposite of Oak Harbor on the other side of the sea. And the region of Decapolis, remember what happened in Decapolis the last time Jesus was there. When Jesus had crossed the lake on a boat and he had gone to the Decapolis, the people had driven him away because he had destroyed their pigs. They did not want Jesus there. But Jesus had left a man who had had his life changed. A man who had the devil driven out of him. And he stayed there. And now look what happens because of what that man did. There were some people brought, a man to him who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged him to place his hand on the man. The demon-possessed man who had been demon-possessed did his job. He went all throughout that region on the other side, on the mainland, telling what Jesus had done and who Jesus was and how he had changed his life and all the things he had done. And the people, hearing the testimony of that man, then brought to him someone who was deaf and could hardly talk. And the fact that he could hardly talk indicates that he was not deaf all of his life. Something had happened to him that enabled him to be deaf. And since he was deaf, he was beginning to lose his ability to talk and to communicate. And so Jesus took him aside, away from the crowd. And Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. He spit and he touched the man's tongue. Jesus has seen that this man is not a normal man. This man is suffering under the curse of creation. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they did not have bad ears. They did not have a bad ability to speak. They were created perfect. They were created as God would have created them. And Jesus knows that in heaven, people are not going to be able not to hear, and they're not going to be able not to speak. They will have bodies which will be healed, which will be renewed from their created order and from what they lived upon on this earth. And so Jesus sees this man who is suffering under the curse of creation. He is suffering under the curse of sin. And he puts his fingers in his ears. He knows that this man is deaf. He sees what problem this man has. And he puts his fingers in his ears. Then he takes some saliva out of his mouth, some spit, and he puts it onto the man's tongue. He is taking his life, Jesus' life, and he's putting it onto the life of that man. And then Jesus looks up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, when Lazarus was in the tomb, and he had died, Jesus saw Lazarus, and he saw that Lazarus was suffering under God's curse. Lazarus had died. His friend had died. And when Jesus saw that, he was weeping. And now Jesus sees this man. And he sighs because he knows that this man is suffering under the curse of God's creation. He knows that he's suffering in a deformed state. He is not what he could be someday in heaven. And so Jesus, by putting his fingers into his ears and spitting upon his tongue, takes this man's burden upon himself, and he says, "Ephatha," which means be opened. He takes it upon himself, and he opens the man's ears so that he can hear, and he opens his tongue so that he can speak. And in verse 35, we read that at this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. It did not take him a long time to speak again, but he knew what was going on, and Jesus had fully healed him. He could hear everything, and he could speak as he once did. Jesus took this man's sin and suffering upon himself, and he allowed him to speak. And there's also something very significant that's going on. And you have to look in Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. If you look at Isaiah 35, verse 5, we read the joy of, this is the theme of the joy of the redeemed. Isaiah is writing here of what's going to happen when the Messiah comes. He's writing of what's going to happen when Jesus comes. And all the people who have been living in Israel up to this point, in Galilee, and in Oak Harbor, as we're calling them today, they think that this is only for the people living in Galilee and Jerusalem. But in verse 5 of Isaiah 35, we read, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the eyes and the ears of the deaf unstopped." We see going on here that Jesus has come and fulfilled this prophecy not only for the people of Oak Harbor and of Coopville, but he's also gone across to the mainland and he's done it over there. And he's showing by this passage and by what he has done here that the gospel has been rejected by the Jews and it's gone to the Gentiles. And now, because this woman has faith, the woman had faith previously, this Gentile woman had faith in the previous passage more than the people of the Jews, now what happens? Jesus opens their ears and he opens their mouths so that they too can hear and understand the gospel and they too can confess his name. And verse 36 and 37 confirms this. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. Jesus, remember when the leper was healed in Galilee, or in Oak Harbor, as we would call it? When the leper was healed, Jesus commanded him not to tell anyone. But the leper went and he told everyone. The same thing that happened at Oak Harbor is now happening on the mainland. And verse 37 tells us that people were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the dumb speak." When Jesus had healed the paralyzed man, right after he healed the leper, the people were amazed, the text tells us. Jesus is now doing, way over on the mainland, what he had been doing in Oak Harbor. The same thing is happening to Gentiles that was happening to the Jews. You see the picture of our passage today? Jesus came into this world and he first went to the Jews. When the Jewish people rejected him, he went all the way to Anacortes. Then he went all the way across to the mainland to people who would not reject him. And those people had more faith. Those people believed in Jesus more than some of the Jews who lived on this side. And so he went to them. And Jesus took their curse of those wicked Gentiles upon himself. He opened their ears. He opened their mouths so that they could hear the gospel that Jesus was going to preach them and so they could confess the name of Jesus. Do you see yourself here this morning? Do you see how you fit in? At one time in your life, you were apart from God. You were apart from His grace. People told you about Jesus, but you didn't understand. You could speak, you could say all kinds of things, but you could not confess Jesus as your Savior upon your lips. But somehow, someone, as that demon-possessed man went and told everybody about Jesus in that region, somehow you heard something from Jesus. You heard something about him. And when you heard about Jesus, when you heard the gospel and what it meant, Jesus came way out of his way. He first went to the Jews, he first went to the Jewish people, but they rejected him, and so Jesus started going to Gentiles. He started going to you. He went way out of his way, way to Anacortes, way across to the mainland. All the way opposite of Oak Harbor is where he went. And he put his fingers in your ear. And he spit and he put it upon your tongue. And suddenly you were able to hear. You were able to hear what it means to belong to Jesus and what heaven is like before you and what it means to have your sins forgiven. And after you were able to hear, after you were able to understand it, you could confess his name. Jesus looked up to heaven over you and he said, "Ephphatha, be open." Before, you never could. Oh, you could speak before. You could talk about all kinds of things. But people didn't understand what you were talking about. Not as far as Jesus goes. Oh, you could hear before. You could hear people talking to you, but you didn't really hear until you knew about Jesus. You were deaf to the gospel. But now, you hear and you speak plainly. But you know, there are other people that this is all pointing back to. This is happening on the mainland. This passage and the previous passage are pointing back to the people in Oak Harbor. It's pointing back to people who think that they are godly, who do everything on the outside to make themselves look like they are so holy and they are so clean, but their hearts are bad. And so instead of those people who are holy and are acting like they are Christians and who look like Christians, the gospel is going to others. And it's their ears who are being opened. It's their tongues who are confessing Jesus. They are coming to Jesus as the woman did, bursting into the room, not asking for the main meal, but only for the crumbs, because they know that they are undeserving. And so today, you want to thank and praise God for opening your ears, for opening your tongue, for not being prideful for who you are, for being a Christian who looks only on the outside, but not on the inside. Amen. Father in heaven, what a gracious passage which teaches us about how you have come to us, how you have opened our ears, how you have opened our mouth to hear the words of the gospel and to speak the name of Jesus. And Lord, before we knew you, we were deaf. Before we knew you, we could not speak or confess your name as our Savior. But it was only by the grace of your Son that you enabled us to do that. And Lord, you came way to us. Who were we? Far away from you. But you went out of your way to come to us. And when we believed in you by faith, we did not ask for the main course, but only for the crumbs. Lord, help us to be thankful for your grace, for what you have done for us. Help us not to be prideful of who we are in Christ or what kind of life that we live, but help us to be thankful for what you have done for us. And Lord, we know that there are many people who we know who cannot confess your name and who, how many times we haven't told them about you and the salvation that you bring, if they still do not hear it. Lord, we pray that you will send your Son and your Holy Spirit to open their ears and to open their mouths so that they too can know and feel and live what we live. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.